Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Robbie and Rex Road.
With Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning, reacting to another Titans win. They moved to 5-0 yesterday with a 42-36 win against the Houston Texans. And Joe, we spent a lot of time in the first hour just patting the Titans on the back. They've played really well, undefeated, one of three undefeated teams left in the NFL. There's still a pretty glaring issue with this team that is hard to ignore, and especially hard to ignore yesterday, and that is the defensive side of the ball. It's just not good right now for the Titans, and we keep waiting on them to figure it out defensively and put the pieces together, generate a consistent pass rush, play better in the secondary. It just hadn't happened. I mean, the second half yesterday, that Texans offense just did whatever they wanted to do against the Titans defense, to the point where, and I brought it up earlier in the show, I have never watched a coin toss in my life with more anticipation than I did with that coin toss in overtime. And Deshaun Watson knew it. I tweeted it out immediately when it happened. Deshaun Watson knew that when they lost that coin toss, the game was going to be over because neither defense was stopping either one of those offenses. The Titans just got lucky on that part of it. That defense, it's a problem. And it's, look, we've been kind of giving it some time and waiting for them to, you know, number one, get healthy. They've still got some bodies they need to get back in there. Adoree Jackson has been out. But this defense is bad. There's really no other way to put it at this point. This defense is not good. And until it gets to where it's at least adequate, I'm not sure what the long-term prospects of this Titans team can really be if there's not going to be improvement on that side of the ball.
No, I agree. I mean, look, and you have some mistakes. So Derrick Henry has his incredible run. And at that moment, again, you're like, after all the mistakes and everything, now the Titans are, you know, they're back in charge. And immediately, Will Fuller for 53 yards gives the lead right back to the Texans. And Malcolm Butler got the blame for that because he was the closest guy. But and Vrabel was asked about that play and just gave a vague answer, you know, didn't get into specifics as you would expect. But that was that had to have been a coverage communication issue because Butler was completely, I mean,
something happened between him and Fulton there.
Yeah, there was some sort of someone didn't get the call, which is a problem too. I mean, you can't have you can't have mistakes like that. I think one of the most disappointing things, like, look, Deshaun Watson's awesome, okay? And he's got speed, and we knew it would be a problem. And Chris Jackson also didn't play, and I'm not saying Chris Jackson's a great player. He's a rookie, but he's inactive. Fulton, I thought, had a rough day yesterday.
Yeah.
They miss Adoree Jackson badly. But the ability for teams to run on them in situations and find big seams and, you know, keep them off balance and have offensive balance is really – that's surprising to me with this group. Like, they're good on the goal line. When teams try to run them on the goal line, Rashawn Evans yesterday had just a monster goal line hit. Jeffrey Simmons is a monster on the goal line. They've got guys to stop the run, but they are not – it's the whole picture is not coming together.
No, and look, I'm done waiting on Clowney. I mean, I am. I've tried to be patient. He's making too much money to be as invisible as he's been.
You're going to go straight Stillman on him?
I'm not going straight Stillman, but, I mean, come on. We're five games in, and he's done nothing. I mean, he's done nothing. Yesterday he had one great play, made the tackle for the loss – in the backfield. Other than that, he's totally invisible yesterday. I mean, we're too deep into the season now for that to be happening. And Vic Beasley, I didn't notice him at all. I mean, Harold Landry, I thought, had a decent game yesterday, but you can count on one hand right now the players defensively that are playing. And I tweeted this out yesterday, and this, I think, is more of a function of the defense as a whole than it is, you know, specifically with this guy. But Kevin Byard, I don't think, is having a very good year right now. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that, not getting a pass rush. You know, obviously that hurts all aspects of your defense. But even in the running game, like, it doesn't look like Kevin Byard He's taking the right angles out there. He doesn't look like he's having a good year. And you can count on one hand right now the defensive players that are playing well.
Yeah, I do think Landry's one of them. I think Landry, like I look at his stat sheet, he has five tackles, he has one for a loss. And he doesn't get credit for any QB hurries, but I swear that's wrong. See, the thing with Clowney is, so a week ago, whatever you put into Pro Football Focus, and to me it's a big grain of salt, but he was their highest-rated defensive player against the Bills.
Uh-huh.
So he's getting close. Now, does pressure matter? Does pressure on a quarterback? And do you put any value in that? At some point, I agree. Like, you got to get home and put the quarterback on the ground.
Is the pressure resulting into, like,
yeah, it's right.
Anything bad for the offense? Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I think sometimes, but not enough. Certainly not enough. It's interesting because I still look at all the players and I say, this doesn't have to be this bad. Like, it's not a hopeless personnel situation. So that's the sunshine I'll pump into this segment. And I do think that you put a Dory Jackson out there, it's not going to solve everything. And I think there's a real chance that happens this week, by the way. It's not going to solve everything, but it's a big, big deal. It's a big deal to have him, especially when you play teams like the Texans and like the Steelers coming up. They have multiple fast guys. I mean, you can do different things with your coverages. You can put him on someone and feel like, okay, he can run with that guy. And you figure Fulton will come along. But, yeah, the front seven, you got to stop the run better, and you got to get home.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says they have all the parts for the defense except Logan Ryan and Dean Pease. Let me tell you, there was a whole lot of outcry yesterday for Dean Pease.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen every time the defense struggles. But I'm starting to wonder, you know, how is there something to that? Like, how much are they missing Dean Pease?
Well, I'm sure they're missing him a ton. It's also worth mentioning right now, I mean, Anthony Midgett, the new defensive backs coach who replaced Kerry Combs, I believe he's missed two games now. So he, one of the staffers affected in the outbreak. And, you know, Shane Bowen, we know, was affected, and he missed some time. So there's also been some staff in flux and having to move people around. Like, that has to be considered. You know, you can't just blow that off. But I would also say that at some point, you know, these guys are also pros, and this is the same defense that Dean Pease had. Dean Pease was a guy they all loved playing for, and obviously he was a great play caller. He seemed to have such a great feel for when to send one of those exotic blitzes. And they were always going to miss him. But I think some of the mistakes and stuff like that, like, it's to me, it's more than, like, you're missing a great defensive coordinator. Like, you are messing up where you shouldn't be messing up.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron text in, I have to say, I think this week against the Steelers will be the game the defense shows up. This will be the first time our team, especially our defense, gets a full week of practice since the facility shut down. I think we show up and show out this week against the Steelers. And it's interesting Ron brings that up.
It's a good point.
Because I think if there's a week where they're going to need the defense to make some plays, it's this one. Because I think the Titans, this will probably be the toughest test defensively that they've seen. I mean, offensively, that they've seen all year long.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, with the Titans offense.
Munson mentioned Devin Bush, really good player, linebacker for them. What's the word on that? I know it looked
right,
like a serious injury.
I mean, yeah, right now it says it's like it's potential season-ending injury, which is the same as LaJuan. Now, take that with a grain of salt, but they are looking like it's season-ending. So
that's a loss, but yeah, I mean, you think about the pass rush they have, the secondary they have. Now, you also think the Titans will look at this offense and what it's done, and there's been no Corey Davis the last two games. So not for sure that he's back. He's still on the COVID list, but if he gets off it early in the week, then he would be a guy. You add him to the offense.
And then you mentioned
it looks like a great matchup.
Yeah, and then you mentioned defense. Like, Chase Claypool has been has been pretty good so far these last couple games. So
Juju Smith-Schuster's been nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Nowhere to be found, but Chase Claypool.
Killing my fantasy team. Killing
is he really?
Juju is. I'm going
to
get
picked. Who'd you lose to this week?
Well, I'm 5-0 going into this week, by the way, but I'm about to lose to Jessica Bliss unless Mahomes has like 50 tonight. So if Mahomes.
That's possible.
Against Buffalo?
I guess it's
possible.
Yeah, it is possible, Joe. So you're down 50.
I'm down like 40, but she also still has.
Kicker, probably.
Yeah, a kicker. So
I
could be
that.
In trouble.
Everybody always
Titans Media League will not go undefeated, but still.
Hey, Joe, I didn't go undefeated either. I lost last week, but I bounced back with a big win this week, potentially. He's got two people. I got two people left. But my two people are good. His two people are good. So we'll see. He's got Hopkins and Elliott. And then I have Kyler Murray and Amari Cooper. So okay. And I'm up, I think, 133 to like 60-something.
Oh, yeah, you're in good shape.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think you're all right. Yeah.
I think you could have nobody playing.
I'm 133. Still probably whoever had Derrick Henry yesterday, son went against someone with Derrick Henry.
So funny. So it's funny because Derrick Henry. The guy who had Derrick Henry in our league had a bye week this week.
Oh, yeah, your odd-teamed league.
Yes. Buys in the league.
Yeah, we got buys, obviously. Well, and it also hurt me, too, because I only got to use Christian McCaffrey like 1 week. So he's only got me one win out of the four that I have.
Do you think we should petition the powers that be, and with the position that I created earlier, just have a one left taco position for everybody in fantasy football?
How about you change your team name?
To left taco?
Yeah.
I bet nobody else has got it.
Best left taco in the league.
Oh, man. Freudian slip. I'm always thinking about tacos, even at 7 o'clock in the morning.
As slips go, it could be a lot. Could have been a lot worse, man.
When we come back, we'll go around the league and visit an eventful day yesterday in the NFL, including how close did the Titans come yesterday to just completely wrapping up the AFC South. We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. During Big Night at the Museum, Modern Music Masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 o'clock on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. Some of the artists performing include Miranda Lambert, Kane Brown, and Tim McGraw, along with many others. So make sure that you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, it was a crazy day yesterday around the NFL, and I thought for a second that the Titans may have wrapped up the AFC South yesterday in my book. They were down. I think the Colts were down at one point 21-0.
They were
to
indeed.
The Cincinnati Bengals, while the Titans were up 14-0 against the Texans. And I was like, could they really just put the nail in the coffin of this division this early into things? They did not. The Bengals were not able to hold on in that game. Titans find a way to come back and win. The Bengals lose 31-27 to Indy. But Indy, they got some problems with that team.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, they would have been 5-0, 3-3 with still two games. So Colts sweep those games and,
I know.
Still win the division by three games. But it was looking bad, especially coming off that loss to Cleveland. And actually, Phillip Rivers is the guy who answered the bell. Now, the Bengals aren't good. And how did the Bengals get up 21-0 on you in your place? I don't know. But disaster averted for them. And this, you look at the division standings, 5-0 Titans, 4-2 Colts. You got those Texans and Jags dueling it out at 1-5 apiece. That was probably yesterday. What if the Texans win that game yesterday? I'm sitting here today saying, keep an eye on Deshaun Watson because he's going to be a problem for people. He still is. They're going to win more games, but that's probably it for them.
They're done. I said it before the weekend. If they lose this game, they're done. I mean, they're 1-5.
Yeah.
And really, to be honest with you, the worst thing that could have happened to them yesterday happened because Green Bay got destroyed and embarrassed. And that's who they have next week is the Green Bay Packers. So,
yeah, their schedule is ridiculous.
Yeah, 1-6 may be very possible heading into next week for the Houston Texans. So I am writing them off. You can write this down. You can record it. If they come back and win the division, you can all shame me later. But the Houston Texans are done.
Yeah, you won't be alone. You will not be alone. It would be an amazing story to come from 1-5 when the division leader is 5-0 and just beat you. And even just to be in the wild card discussion, I think is a long shot, even with an extra spot this year.
How about your Detroit Lions yesterday? 34-16 winners in that marvel of a game in Jacksonville.
What a performance.
What a game.
Well, it's terrible because, Brennan, my 13-year-old Brennan is texting me like, oh, they're going to win. I'm like, watch the Titans game. Don't watch that game.
Yes.
Don't watch the Lions-Jaguars. Watch the
Titans.
Why would
you do
game.
That to yourself?
And so I'm getting texts about, big win. Like, nah, it's just enough to keep people engaged, to keep the sickness alive. So, and boy,
whatever channel
Todd,
whatever channel the Lions come on your TV, you just need to block it.
Yeah.
Just make sure you can never just, watch
we
it.
Should, we do have parental locks on stuff. I wonder if I could put a parental lock on Lions football.
Just search Lions.
Yeah. Like anything with Lions in it is immediately
including
off limits.
Including Lion King. You just can't watch anymore.
It's TVMA. Yeah. Well, the Jaguars, that's brutal, man. Todd, I know a few weeks ago we were talking about the surprise. Yeah, hey, when the Jaguars came in here, what was our discussion? Good offensive line, Minshew. Oh, that's legit.
They
man.
Could win 5-6 games this year.
I mean, like 6-7 games maybe. Yeah, now it's not, now they're in that Trevor Lawrence battle.
But look on the bright
side.
And
also, the Titans look worse.
Look
on defense,
the bright side for the Jags.
Retrospect.
They do look better than the Jets, though.
Well,
that's easy to say.
The Jets are one. They have a chance. Speaking of the Lions, the Jets have a chance, man. They have a chance to go after that Lions.
They could be the worst team I've ever seen.
They are. Let's look. So they are 75 points for 185 points. They're minus 110 right now. I'm trying to look at the rest of the league.
They suck.
The next worst. Okay, is actually the Jags at minus 56. So minus 110 for the Jets. They are unbelievable. That's why I'm going to lose in fantasy because Jessica had a Dolphins defense. My gosh,
it's a good pickup by her.
Anybody who's playing against the Jets, you just start
yeah,
them.
you start them. Doesn't matter who it is. We got a text earlier on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and it was something to the effect of. Like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, Clemson hung up 73 on Georgia Tech the other day.
Did someone make that a pick?
Yeah, Munson had it.
That was your pick, yeah. Should have been
your
line lock,
was
man.
Minus 20. The line was minus 27. I'm sitting here on Friday talking about, man, when the line gets up to minus 27, I get really nervous about that. They won 73-7.
I agreed with you. We also, you and I both picked North Carolina to, you know, cover 13.5 at Florida State. So
yeah. That wasn't too good.
No, that wasn't.
That wasn't too good. But, no, I mean, I just expected Clemson should just win. I didn't expect them to win by like 100 points, but whatever, you know.
Clemson's
a win's
like,
a win. Still got my lock, though, so that's all that matters.
You know what we should have thought of is that Alabama-Georgia was happening that night, and Clemson was like, you know what? Let's put a number
put
on
somebody. Put
some
style points on people.
Let's put a number on somebody.
But where I was going with that is that our texter said that if you're Trevor Lawrence and you see the Jets right now, like, don't you have to, like, enter into some graduate program at Clemson? Like, because they're not going to be any better next year. You might as well just, like, for the next 2 years, go do so. I know he's a junior, and he could technically stay there another year if he wanted to. But I'd find some program where if, like, I'm Trevor Lawrence, there's no way the Jets are drafting me.
Get, like, a botany graduate degree or something. Yes. You know, just hang around until the Jets can no longer pick you. Look, well, so if the Jets go 0-16 and they have the number one pick, so we assume it's Trevor Lawrence. I think that's definitely the pick. I happen to think that Justin Fields has a chance to be a dynamic quarterback in the NFL. What are they going to do with Sam Darnold? I mean, Sam Darnold, I think, has a lot of talent. It's just like, we can't, who know? Who could tell?
I don't
know.
Who
can tell right
now? But I imagine that there is nobody praying harder than Sam Darnold right now to get out of there. I bet Sam Darnold will probably show up to the Jets facility today in a Trevor Lawrence jersey. In a Trevor Lawrence Clemson jersey. Be like, yeah, you guys should take him.
You know what?
He's really good.
I got a better idea for Trevor Lawrence. He, during like this whole draft process, just hype up Justin Fields. I'm like, man, look, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, he's
so
good.
Way better than me, man. Like, that guy's good. Like,
you see what he did to Rutgers this weekend?
Yeah, did you see that? Ooh, man, that 70 points, that wasn't even me for real. That was like Travis Etienne. He was pretty good, you know. You might want to get Justin Fields. Matter of fact, there's a guy in North Dakota, too, by the way.
That's right.
You want to go look at him.
Take me third.
Yeah, Trey Lance is, man. Trey Lance is a pretty good option, too. You know, I'm just, my shoulder just, it hurts right now. Let's.
I got an injury history. By the way, if you're Kirby Smart right now, how much do you think about Justin Fields?
Oh, I would say a lot.
And what if Justin Fields is out there for that team? Who'd be the best team in the college football right now?
Georgia.
So, I mean, what a crusher.
Saw some limitations the other night with old Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, we did.
Buccaneers with a 38-10 win yesterday against my beloved Green Bay Packers. And that game started off really well for me. Packers were up 10-0 in total control of that game. And then Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six. And then he came back on the next drive and threw basically another pick six. They returned it to the two and scored later. And that game was over. And really, there's no point in harping on that game, but here's how you sum it up. The Buccaneers had zero penalties, zero turnovers, and zero sacks allowed. You do that, you're probably going to win a few games in the NFL. And Rob Gronkowski looked like 2014 Rob Gronkowski the other day, too.
He did, huh? Man. Yeah, that was. There were a lot of surprising games. The 49ers beating the Rams. I guess it, we're still Shanahan just ahead of McVay on the genius scale.
I guess so.
The Patriots losing to the Broncos? Ooh. Really? That's boy, they've gone the wrong direction. I mean, I know this is like a total, you know, toilet bowl game anyway, but the Vikings getting thumped. That was my lock, the Vikings, like -4. Unbelievable. You know, what else? The Bears. I mean, the Bears are in first place over your Packers. I don't care what anybody said. They're not good.
I'm not worried about them.
But they keep winning. I thought the Panthers would win that game at home.
Bears got a good defense.
Bears have a very good defense. And Nick Foles is doing enough. I mean, he's at least, you know, a certain level of reliability that you didn't have with Mitch Trubisky.
Threw for a $198 yesterday. One touchdown, one pick. That's all he had to do.
That's classic.
Classic Nick Foles, baby.
You know, we're talking about like Tannehill at quarterback and McNair. There were a lot of wins in that era like that too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the formula, but I mean, I'm not. Please, I'm not.
Did
comparing.
You just compare Steve McNair and Nick Foles?
I'm not. I'm saying that they do win that old style of run the ball, and you know, if you may not get to 200 yards passing, but you'll still find a way with that defense.
Bears are playing some 1999 style football.
Yeah, I love it.
I hate them even more because of that. So
Nick Grossman.
Yes, Nick Grossman. Just the fusion of Rex Grossman and Nick Foles. Gotta love it. And then your beloved Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Ooh.
It was a rough one yesterday for them. 38-7 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That say more about the Steelers or about the Browns?
I think combination of both. I think to me it says more about Baker Mayfield.
But, yeah.
Two picks yesterday. I know he got hurt eventually in the game, but two picks in that game, not good.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I still think the Browns are a playoff team, sticking with that. But that was one of those. This was one of those rise up and show us moments, and it's like, ooh, they shrink again in the moment.
Good to know Case Keenum's still in the league, though. Didn't know that.
He's one of those guys. He'll like 5 years from now, we'll say the same thing at some point.
Backup quarterback for the Titans coming in.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And then, of course, how could we forget the Washington football team losing by one to the New York Giants? The Giants are on the board, baby. 20-19 winners against Washington.
Okay, so let's
Kyle Allen threw the ball more than 40 times.
We need an update on one of the worst divisions in the history of the NFL. So you got the first place. Absolutely alone in first. Dallas Cowboys at 2-3. Eagles 1-4-1. Giants 1-5. Washington football team 1-5.
Yes.
Someone has to go to the playoffs. And of course, you know, the Cowboys don't have their quarterback. But I assume.
Don't disrespect Andy Dalton in front of me.
Hey,
they've got their quarterback.
I'll tell you what, that's a good pickup for them.
Yeah.
There's the value of getting a real guy as a backup. It's hard. Only a handful of teams in this league can get one, but they did.
When we come back, we have not mentioned it yet, but man, what a disaster for the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday. We'll get into that next with our good buddy Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tennessee. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And man, what a disaster for the Tennessee Volunteers. A 38-7 loss to Kentucky on Saturday. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing? So, Josh, where does this loss rank in terms of the worst in Jeremy Pruitt's tenure? To me, it's got to be somewhere right behind the Georgia State loss. But as you evaluate what you saw on Saturday, where does this loss rank?
Well, it's a good question. I asked that question on Twitter, and you can always get all kinds of reactions, of course, right? I asked it in the moment, kind of at the end of the game on Saturday. And the reaction was largely split. I had a bunch of Kentucky, I had a bunch of Georgia State responses, and I had a bunch of, it's definitely this one, and it's definitely Georgia State, which tells me the real problem is you have two just incredibly embarrassing losses that are now adding up to go along with a loss to BYU last year that was very frustrating, and blowout losses to your rivals in the SEC, and it's a problem. And the conversation we were having just a few weeks ago of, Well, Tennessee looks like it's turned the corner to where it has risen above the Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky group in the SEC East. Now let's see if Tennessee can more closely compete with the best teams in the conference. And we got that answer against Georgia, it appears, and found out we may have been wrong in talking about, we definitely were wrong, I guess, in at least saying, well, Tennessee has risen above those teams, because Tennessee didn't just lose to Kentucky. Losing to the Wildcats, to me, would not have been embarrassing. That's a pretty solid team. They're definitely well-coached, and they're built up front. But losing 34-7 when you hadn't lost to Kentucky at home in 36 years, that's what's really embarrassing. The performance, the effort, from the coaching staff to the players, it all adds up.
I agree. Now, I also, and I could never prove this, but I think if Tennessee, after that first pick six, which was really bad, from Jarrett Garantano, but then they go down the field like a knife through hot butter, and they're about to tie the game. And I will contend that if they had just done that and you go from there, I think they have a great chance to win the game. I still thought they had a chance to win the game, Josh, when it was 17-7 at halftime. But that second pick six from Garantano, which turns a likely tie game into 14-0, to me, it's just like, how do you overcome that? And the question for you is, let's make you Coach Ward. What are you doing at quarterback this week?
Well, I don't think there is a really good answer. And that, to me, is the bigger issue, is that I think it's reasonable to make the case that Jarrett Garantano is Tennessee's best option at quarterback right now to play your best football, even knowing that that can end up causing problems that we just saw on Saturday. And that comes back to what have they been doing the last few years in recruitment, in development at the quarterback position, because Jeremy Pruitt in his third season is still relying on the only quarterback he did not sign. He signed Brian Maurer, JT Shroud, Harrison Bailey, and maybe Bailey enters the equation. My answer would be that I'm getting multiple quarterbacks ready to play. And there's a good chance that it's Jarrett, because at least as one of the players, because if you go through practice and veterans still see that Jarrett is outperforming these other quarterbacks in practice, and he has at least done it at times, they've seen him help them win games, even though they also saw what happened in the second half against Georgia, what happened in the first half against Kentucky. And I'm with you, by the way, Joe, in that second interception, it had to be demoralizing. I mean, look at the way the players did or did not respond on the field in trying to run down Kentucky's player to make a tackle. It just, the effort wasn't there. Trey Smith even said after the game, yeah, it should have been better. But also, they did come down the field and score a touchdown. They had a great drive, right? And I thought like you, hey, Tennessee's at least going to give itself a shot to win this game. And the defense in the third quarter was awful. And Kentucky did what it wanted to, and Jeremy Pruitt gets the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and he's publicly questioning a call on one of those pick sixes that Jim Chaney made. And that tells me that you have deeper issues. So they could go to JT Shroud, and I think we saw on Saturday why they don't want to. They could go to Harrison Bailey, and I think he can make some good throws. He also could throw a couple of picks. And I've heard too many Tennessee fans at this point say, I'm ready to lose with somebody else at quarterback. And I get it, but that's still not a great solution, is it?
No. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh, you brought it up there between Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney. Do you think there is some friction there developing with some of the play calls that Jim Chaney has thrown out there?
Well, it's not the first time that Jeremy Pruitt has made some references to the approach, at least, that they've taken offensively. It's the first time I think that he's been direct in calling out the call. And I'm talking about the first interception that Jarrett threw on the sideline that was returned. And Jeremy didn't like that route that was being run for the play. He didn't like the throw over there, and said it was a bad throw by Jarrett, which is pretty obvious. But the fact that Jeremy Pruitt brought it up multiple times, he was stressing it to the media. And previously he talked about the need to run the football, and I think that was talked about after the South Carolina game. That's after a win, and they were able to get some things figured out, so it's not as big of a deal. We also have Jimmy Brumbaugh being fired last night. So it brings up even more questions about what's going on when you have a defensive line coach being let go after four games into replacing Tracy Rocker. So, yeah, I have real questions about what's going on with the staff. It's a staff that had a lot of changes after last season, but one of the positives was supposed to be that you have Derek Ansley back as the defensive coordinator for year two, and then Jim Chaney, that was talked about even more. I don't know how many times I mentioned it in a 9-month period, and that has not helped. And when you look at Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney, those are two guys making close to a combined $5.5 million this season, and the results are not what Tennessee expected with what it's paying.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of probably, you know, overreaction, of course, on the Jeremy Pruitt fund. It's amazing how quickly things can change in terms of, you know, this time last year, everybody's adding up his buyout, and then, you know, he's about to bring him to the national title game, and now it's back to everyone all over him. But I do think that there's a concern with the staff turnover you mentioned, Josh, and Jimmy Brumbaugh fired after four games. For one thing, you know, the initial reaction is, wait, the offense right now is the bigger deal. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I mean, I know he was at Kentucky for a year. Was he, like, caught celebrating with the Wildcats after the game? I mean, why in the world is this move taking place right now? What does it say to you?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Jeremy Pruitt's supposed to meet with the media today at 12 o'clock, so we should get a better idea. But Tennessee just handed him a two-year, $1.3 million contract. So why this has happened and what the cost would be to Tennessee to make this move is a big question here, because Tracy Rocker did a nice job, I thought, with the defensive line last year, but there was a lot of talk about him not being as effective as Jeremy Pruitt wanted on the recruiting trail. So you go get a younger coach who's thought to be a better recruiter, but you still needed somebody to coach that defensive line. And the defense has been okay. I think that it's a defense that can still be one of the best in the SEC this season, but it's not been as good as I probably thought, and it's definitely not been as good as Jeremy Pruitt thought. Still, the reaction to have a position coach who you just brought on out after four games raises huge questions. So that's why that added to everything else. You're right, the conversation can shift very quickly. That's why I would also caution, hey, things can still turn out okay. Now, losing to Kentucky in that kind of fashion will always be embarrassing, but those losing to Georgia State and BYU and to Florida by 31 points last year, and the Vols found a way to win six straight games. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I would not predict that happening again. But we did just see last year that things could turn very quickly in a positive direction. But with Alabama this week and Arkansas will not be a gimme, we're now seeing things need to turn quickly again for Jeremy Pruitt, or the conversation is just going to get uglier at Knoxville. And you know, there's the accumulation effect. Tennessee fans feel like they're having the same conversations from a year ago and from 3 years ago and from 7 years ago, and they're very tired of that too.
Josh, feel free to disagree with me on this if you want to, but the biggest thing that stood out to me the last couple of weeks in the second half against Georgia, and then for really the entire game against Kentucky, they just look like a mentally weak football team. I mean, they allow problems to compound into more problems throughout the course of a game. How much of an indictment is that on the coaching staff, if that's something you agree with?
Well, I do agree with it, which is kind of surprising, because I actually thought that one of the things that Tennessee had done well to turn the corner, if it had, and I guess maybe now it hasn't, but was that with adversity last year, Tennessee was scoreless at the half against Kentucky last year, and Jared Garantano came in and helped lead them back. The way they responded in that game, the way that they and got the stop, of course, at the end of the game, and fighting through against Missouri and Indiana in the bowl game, and then against South Carolina when the start was awful, and then Tennessee immediately responded. I thought that one thing that the staff had done with the players was get them to deal with adversity really well, but that has not happened the last game and a half, and that would maybe come back to those two pick sixes that Jarrett Garantano threw and the fumble as well. Jeremy Pruitt was not putting that on Jarrett, but still that happened, and that was another lost opportunity. That can maybe add up on them, but I thought that they would respond better. That's why at the half I still thought Tennessee would come out and play better in the third and fourth quarters, and I was very wrong on that. So ultimately I guess it is on the coaching staff. And if we're still talking about what players are doing behind the scenes, because that was another – talking point from Jeremy Pruitt was that guys have to do more work to get ready and be in there watching more film. And that, to me, that's a year one conversation when you're talking about the culture. I think that's what it comes back to. And I'm surprised that we're, again, still talking about that here in the middle of October of year three of Jeremy Pruitt as Tennessee's head coach.
Yeah, I totally agree. When he said that, I thought of that exactly. I was like, I heard that a lot in 2018. Thought we might be done hearing it. Josh, back on quarterback, I think with Bailey, you go there. To me, you go there when you are like, okay, it's time to think about next year, or you really have to pour everything into him and you have to simplify the offense and a lot of changes. I was surprised that JT Stroud didn't transfer in the offseason, but the guy I think is a viable possibility here would be Brian Maurer, based on what we saw last year. I know he missed some time. Do you think that, you know, he could still enter this discussion and give them at least a reasonable alternative to Garantano?
I think that he should if Maurer is physically ready to go, as Jeremy Pruitt brought up his hamstring issue. But you know, I'd like to know more about what's going on behind the scenes in terms of how reps have been split up. Because one thing that's, I think, going to be consistent with any coach is if they're not practicing a guy, they're going to be very reluctant at least to play him, especially at that position. That was part of the issue with Harrison Bailey, is he just hadn't really practiced much with the guys that were actually out there playing in games. But yeah, you have to reevaluate that now, right? And Maurer's the one with the second most experience behind Garantano. And I don't think that Brian Maurer's a great quarterback, but he's a guy with mobility. He's a guy that has shown he can make plays in the SEC. And at this point, you've got to try something. So that's why I'd be trying to get multiple quarterbacks ready. If Maurer's physically ready, I would be getting him ready to play in the game, because I just think the leash with what they trust JT Shrout to do is so short, even if he has been the number two guy so far this season. And Harrison Bailey has, but how much confidence do they have in what they want to call offensively? That to me is a big issue. So that's why I keep saying I don't think that there's a great option, but I don't see, if Maurer is healthy, how he can't be an option that is considered. And this is Alabama week, and it's not going to go well realistically for Tennessee. But after that, you do have 2 weeks of preparation time to get ready for Arkansas, which is going to be a really important game. And I would look at all the quarterbacks and spend some of that time, at least in week one, to create some competition at quarterback, and then figure out a way to get another quarterback ready. Because even if they do go back to Jarrett, they can't just expect that he's the guy all the way through. They've had to make a change too many times, and they're likely going to have to make another one soon.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Josh, great stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us as always.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Josh, we were just a disaster for Tennessee on Saturday. And we're going to get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break. We'll get your reaction as well. What are your expectations now for the Vols after that horrific loss to Kentucky on Saturday?
615-737-1025.
That could get hot.
We are Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
From the Fox 17 Skywatch Weather Center.
I'm Fox 17 morning meteorologist Justin Chambers. A mild start to your Monday morning. We're going to see those temperatures rise this afternoon with highs in the mid to upper 70s. Could see a couple of thunderstorms as well, so stay weather aware. We keep our temperatures above average most of this week.
This weather report brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Shanked another tee shot into the woods.
Joe, your back nine was a disaster. What happened?
This happened. There's another one. My wife's blowing up my phone with these crying emojis. And now, photos. Look, it's my youngest sitting in the timeout corner.
Oh, there's my wife. Look. Says, have a great golf game, honey. Your favorite dinner's waiting when you get home. Just because.
Just because? How'd you get so lucky?
Wasn't luck. It was a Just Because gift from Genesis Diamonds.
When was the last time you reminded your wife with a piece of jewelry that she's the beautiful woman you love and not your roommate? Let the experts at Genesis Diamonds help you find that special Just Because gift today. From a simple eternity band to a stunning piece of designer jewelry, we have what women love for any special occasion or just because.
Just because. Never thought of that before.
Joe, your golf game isn't the only thing that needs a little work.
Genesis Diamonds can't make you a champion in the clubhouse, but we can help keep you out of the doghouse. Green Hills and Cool Springs.
Other banks charge fees on savings and checking accounts. Doesn't sound good, does it? Capital One reimagined banking. So it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
With so many new pet owners, Kezia's Grooming can't keep up.
Kezia's Grooming? Sorry, we'll book solid through the weekend. I can give you a call back, though, if something opens up.
It's time to hire.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. The moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Indeed delivers 2.5 times more hires than the other branded job sites combined, according to Breezy HR 2019. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey Nashville, this is Chase McCabe. We all know this fall is an important time for our country. Election Day is November 3rd, but you can elect early voting October 14th through 29th, or mail in your absentee ballot by October 27th. Let your voice be heard this election. So please, go vote. This message from all of us at ESPN 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media.
You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mark Stoops ends another skid for Kentucky. They win here for the first time in 18 tries. First win since 1984.
Jeremy, you said you're undecided at quarterback for this week. Have JT and Brian made any progress in terms of getting closer to Jarrett and being competitive with him?
Well, you know, first of all, Brian missed most of fall camp. He had a hamstring. He was in quarantine, you know, so he didn't get many reps there. And that put him behind, and he understands that, and he's trying to catch up, right? So I feel like JT has continued to work hard. You know, there's just a few plays out there, and you saw one today. You know, it's second and 25. You know, first of all, send the guy in motion that you're supposed to send. He don't send a guy in motion, and just makes a very poor decision. Should just take the check down or throw the ball away. Anything but throw the ball to the other team. You know, so and second and 25s or second and 22s are not very good situations to be in. But, you know, if we want to continue to improve at that position, we've got to keep coming to work. We've got to work a little harder. We've got to raise our level of preparation. And hopefully these guys will continue to work hard to do that.
That was Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt after a 34-7 loss to Kentucky on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Joe, you were there for that game. What stood out to you in that game, other than the obvious of the quarterback play, which we'll get to here in just a second?
First of all, are you trolling me today, playing on my questions? are you like messing with me a little
bit?
Well,
hey, look, you asked for them, man. I deliver.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would hate to play somebody else asking Jeremy Pruitt a question, and then Joe Rexro just pops out of nowhere.
Well, I actually asked
Jeremy Pruitt a question, too. So
you're making me feel like Stillman, like whenever someone says, well, you know, Jared.
Well,
and then
plus,
like, he plays it over and over on his show.
Plus, it promotes how much you guys are like out here. Like,
that's right,
Robbie.
We are there.
Played a couple of Robbie questions from David Poyle the other day.
Must is looking out for us.
Yeah, that's because
we're all over the place.
Robbie asked the best questions. I felt like that was the best question to ask to Jeremy Pruitt was, well, "What's up with your quarterback?"
Well, see, that's the thing in this situation. That was a nice, quick, concise question with no fumbling or bumbling by me. So I'm glad. And I think that is the question.
You did
that
sound like you were in a closet, but yeah.
Yeah, well, of course. But it was better than yesterday with the Titans presser. But that is the question. The question is, how are these guys – how is no one ready? And as Pruitt said, okay, Maurer had a hamstring. He was in quarantine. He missed some time. It's also a guy who played football last year. He played a lot of football for them last year. He was the starter before, actually, at Kentucky. Garantano retook the job because Maurer was terrible in that game. And then Garantano goes on a run, and he takes over the job. But – how is no one ready? It's not fair to expect Harrison Bailey to be ready. And listen, I understand Vols fans.
Made a great throw on Saturday.
He made one good throw.
One great throw.
He did. It was a nice ball. He's a talented 5-star guy who someday may be a really good quarterback for the Vols. But if you throw him out there this year, you think that's the last pick six you saw Saturday? No.
No, and let's go on and end. Before this conversation begins, let's just go on and end the conversation of starting Harrison Bailey against Alabama on Saturday. That's a horrible idea.
Terrible idea. Right. I mean, you are just going to potentially get him hurt, but you're certainly going to mess with his confidence. You know, that's a balance, and I know a lot of people will blow that off. Like, hey, they're playing football. He's young. Sure, you dumb down the offense and all that, but if he can play, he can play. That's the whole thing. You know they're going to lose, right? It's not going to go well for the Vols against Alabama on Saturday. So it's like, okay, well, I'd rather see some hope in a young guy. But, well, look, if you're Jeremy Pruitt and this staff, you're trying to be as competitive as possible, and beyond this game, win as many games as possible. But it is an absolute indictment that you don't have one of the other guys more ready than this. That JT Shrout would come in, and this is a third-year player, and look like a true freshman on his pick.
It's awful. It's terrible. Hey, look, and I wrote this at thegamenashville.com on Friday. So literally about, I don't know, 15 hours before the game on Saturday, talking about how, you know, Garantano, whether you like it or not, he's the best option right now at quarterback for the Vols. And you know what the unfortunate part about that is? It's probably still true. Like, it probably is still true that he's the best option that they have. But I will say, like, I'm done with him. I just am. And I realize that there's not really a better answer at this moment. But one of the reasons I think that you're playing him this year is, the number one, the experience factor, but number two, the decision-making. The decision-making is what's supposed to be separating him from the rest of the pack. He's seen a lot. He's played a lot of football. And quite frankly, the first two games, I thought he was excellent in terms of his decision-making. Now, the execution of the throw wasn't always there, and we talked about that. But the decision-making, for the most part, was pretty good. The decision-making by him in the last two games, and really the second half in Georgia and all the time he was in there against Kentucky, is just awful. I mean, it's been terrible, the decisions that he's come up with. That second pick six, I watched the replay of the second pick six maybe 12 times, and I'm still trying to figure out where he's throwing the ball. Like, who's he throwing the ball to? Like, could you not – is the blue not enough of a contrast in Kentucky's jerseys from the orange that you couldn't see the guy there? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, there was a receiver there, but, yeah, he clearly didn't see the linebacker
drop. Yeah,
there's
a guy right in front of him.
I know. No, I mean, hey, that was the killer. And we talked about it last segment with Josh Ward. You know, Pruitt more than once in that presser brought up the call on the first pick, which I agree with.
It's a horrible play call.
Yeah, like he said, you're throwing to the field side there, okay? So you're on the left hash, you're throwing to the field side, and you are, as Pruitt said, basically you're trying to pick up 4 yards by throwing it 50, and that's a play that begs for a pick six, really. And, of course, Pruitt, after kind of criticizing the call, is like, nobody's fault but mine, but the staff thing here is really interesting when you look at a guy being fired, for one thing. Also, the staff, the offensive staff in particular, a lot of pressure right now. They should have guys more ready, and there's a lot of pressure right now to come up with an answer. I think you're right, Robbie, that Garantano is probably still the best option at playing well. But I do think that Brian Maurer is an alternative that you can at least have a chance to be competitive with. And I think that's got to be explored now.
Well, they haven't reached this point yet. And look, Alabama, it just is what it is. It's not going to go well. Even if Tennessee plays well offensively, you're going to have to hang up 55 points to remain in that game. But after that, if this continues from Garantano, I mean, you got to make the switch and he never sees the field again. Because if you're going to make these type of mistakes, let the young kids make these type of mistakes. I mean, we're past this. You got to be, if this is what they're going to get out of Garantano, put in Bailey. I don't care. If you're going to make these type of mistakes, let the kid make these mistakes and move forward from that point.
Yeah, it's just that. So Arkansas coming up, right? Arkansas, actually probably the best story in the SEC. Sam Pittman, he's coach of the year right now in the SEC. That's a really, really good defense. That's a huge game coming up for Tennessee. And I understand everything you're saying right there, but if I'm Jeremy Pruitt and it's that choice, now I just mentioned I think Maurer is something that's got to really be explored, but if it's that choice between Garantano or Harrison Bailey and you're Jeremy Pruitt, you have a better chance of winning that game with Garantano not doing the dumb stuff he just did. Now, I can't guarantee he won't, but I'm just saying we have.
Did you see what Arkansas did to Ole Miss on Saturday?
I did.
Six picks.
Yeah. No, but again, what's the freshman doing? I mean, look, the thing is, again, if it gets to the point this season where it's like, well, it's either 3-7 or 4-6, who cares? Fine, play him. Get him ready for 2021. You're not there yet, though. There are still a lot of winnable games on the schedule. Look at Auburn. Yeah, awful loss to South Carolina. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity ahead on the schedule, so you have to go with who gives you the best chance to win. And as sad as it is, it may be JG.
And we got a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Mark in Clarksville, and I think I agree with this. I mean, it says Vols 5-5 at best, but likely 4-6. But the second part is what I agree with. If they lose the next two, it's Harrison Bailey time after that. If you lose to Alabama, which you're going to,
yes,
and then you follow that up with a loss to Arkansas, I mean, at that point, what are we doing?
Well, you can say that, but when you're a coach who is in a third year at a high, high-pressure program, and you're then looking at Texas A&M and Auburn and Vanderbilt, I mean, I understand the sentiment, but I can still see Pruitt saying, I have to beat Texas A&M. I have to beat Auburn. What gives me the best chance? It's not yet time to be like, okay, we're getting ready for 21.
It's not yet. But
even at 2-4, I don't think it would be for him. I think for the whole fan base, a whole fan base, it would be. This is where you're going to have some conflict.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I think this year is a complete loss for the Vols. I'd say put in Harrison Bailey and get him some reps. That way he can be ready for next year, and we have a chance to see what he may be for us. There's going to be a lot. I mean, this conversation is not going away.
That's what fans are saying. I get it. And I'm telling you that your head coach is fighting right now to recruit and to have win as many football games as he can possibly win this year. Even if it's 4 versus 3, that matters to him. So I think at some point they would have to make that decision too and be like, look, get the kid ready. But it's going to be way later than you want it to be.
How dramatically did your expectations for this team shift after Saturday? Like, I thought
– dramatically.
I thought 7-3 was on the table.
I did,
like,
too.
I really did. And now, like, I'm struggling to see, I mean, 5 maybe. I mean, they got shelled. And look, Kentucky, we talked about it heading in the game. They could be 3-0. Could be 4-0 now. But just some mistakes they made in the Ole Miss game, and then they got hosed in the Auburn game. But
okay, but I'm going to tell you this right now, too. So they're going to be 2-3 after Saturday. They have 5 games left. There is not a single game on that schedule that they can't win.
Agreed.
There's 1 game left they can't win, and it's Saturday. So they could still be – I know people will laugh. They could be 7-3 at the end. And we saw what they did last year in the second half against a lighter schedule. But still, they figured a lot of things out. I think it's really a bad sign that you fire your – not just D-line coach, but your co-DC, a guy you paid a lot of money to get. To fire him now, that's troubling.
It's a bad look. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans. A big win yesterday against the Texans. Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.